All right, thank you. I appreciate the chance to cover some information from some trials that we've been doing for a number of years. Before we were in such a severe drought in California, we were interested in depths of drip just because there's a lot of competition for water supply. So I certainly want to thank the folks that are mentioned here and as well as the California Cotton Alliance for support of the project that we have. We do have a lot of reasons to be concerned about potential for more water conservation. Water limits are real in a lot of years in California. It's a desirable option for us to have tighter control over irrigation. So part of what I'd like to do is describe some examples of deficit subsurface drip irrigation management practices that we've been using. And I'm going to focus most of my talk on the responses to the water deficit treatments and descriptions of those. So the different ET treatments that we use in the first round of talks of treatments studies that I'll talk about are shown here. And the basic thing I think maybe to focus on as you go from irrigation treatment 1 down all the way to what's called irrigation treatment 6 here, is you can see that we have irrigation treatments identified by different growth stages as a percent of ET, crop ET, and based on crop coefficients and ET measurements on site. So as you can see, as you go down through these different series of treatments, as you go from 1 down to 6, it's becoming essentially more intense, in particular with the bloom period and later stress development with these deficit irrigation treatments. One of the first things I want to mention is that we've done quite a bit of work on impacts of early season levels of stored soil water, even under drip irrigation conditions. So I'll just show you a few results. Again, these are the treatments, the same treatments that we were talking about. Wow. From 1 to 6, so this is the highest water treatment. This is the more severe late season deficit treatments. And the main things I want to show in the next three slides, this is for Pima here in 2009 in a clay loam soil. And you can just see that as you go from the high water treatments, there isn't much impact on yield, or there's some impact of yield on having more pre-irrigation water, about 6.5 inches versus about 3 inches of pre-irrigation. When you get to the intermediate ones where you'd expect to see more water stress, well, then we get a significant impact of the higher pre-irrigation amounts on yield performance. And when you have the most severe treatments, then that extra water isn't enough to make up a difference. And that same kind of pattern held in other years. This is 2010 data for 5-gen 805 Pima. And here I'll show this is a Kayla data for 5-gen 725 RF. And again, somewhat similar responses. And again, maybe the main thing to note is that we can go with these reduced water application treatments during the main part of the growing season, but we did get a significant response to these higher pre-irrigation amounts. And that's been consistent with our experiences, is that even drip-irrigated cotton with a somewhat restricted root volume under deficit drip will still do some additional root exploration in this type of soil, and so you can take advantage of some stored soil water that you can apply maybe at a different time of the year when you have water. Again, this is not quite as dramatic in the 2010 results for the Acala, but a similar pattern. And part of what's going on then as you go, as you look at the interactions of what's happening with the different stress treatments, all I'm showing here is fruiting position 2 sites and a percent of potential positions within fruiting node groups 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 15, 16 to 20, and 21 plus in Pima. Under subsurface drip. And again, these, what's shown are the 6 different irrigation treatments. As you go toward the orange, those are the more severe stress treatments. The higher water treatments are the blue. And as you can see, one of the main impacts of these developing stresses, particularly late season in drip irrigation in this type of a setting, is that you get fewer late developing fruiting branches. And so fewer nodes are retained in the upper part of the canopy with that type of a stress program. So what I'd like to do is go on then to some more recent. We've tried to settle in on some deficit drip approaches that we think may have some value for some of the growers in our area for both Acala and Pima. And in all the studies I'll talk about, we use a surface drip system for this next round. Alternate furrow placement for the surface drip system. We put 30 pounds of N and P applied or pre-plant incorporated during final bed shaping, so we had some nutrients in that bed because these were low residual N sites that we were using. And then the urea and phosphoric acid injections that we used supplied a total of 125 pounds of N and 35 pounds of P2O5 during the period from matchhead square to peak bloom, and then we put an additional 15 pounds per acre of N on between peak bloom and the average cutout time. And we applied, in this particular set of studies, 5.5 inches of water pre-plant, again, kind of along the lines of my previous discussion about some perceived value of those of having more short soil water. And again, it just happened that these studies were in extremely low rainfall years, 2-inch and 3-inch annual rainfall the years of those studies. We included 4 different varieties of Acala and 5 different Pimas to kind of get an idea of what range of responses we might expect with imposing these types of stresses. And those are shown here. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about the cultivar differences because of time. And then I'll show you, these are the irrigation treatments that we settled in on. And you can see that they're really not any severe deficit type of treatments, and we're kind of considering in our area with the high production costs and all, a lot of our growers still want to make really quite high yields if they can hit them. They'd like to kind of tighten up on water applications, so they don't really want to be dealing with super severe stress type of approaches. And as you look through these, you can see again from in looking at the following slides, we're avoiding stress and treatment one all the way through bloom, and then we're having a more severe reduction from cutout on. Treatment 2 is at 80% ET all the way through. Treatment 3 imposes some deficits during bloom and early on, and a more severe deficit later. And then for comparison purposes, we included just in a 1 Acala and 1 Pima cultivar, 100%, 100%, 80 treatment, that treatment 4. So I'll show you some of the numbers, what that resulted in terms of the amounts of applied water during the different periods. You can see here, these are inches of applied water with the drip system across the different treatments. What those resulted in is total application amounts across the treatments in the Acalas here, 23.1, 22, 17.9, and 26 inches in the highest water treatment. I'm showing soil water use at the beginning of the season to the end post-harvest. Net soil water depletion in the 8-foot profile is shown here. As you might expect, a little more depletion in the more severe deficit treatments, less in the highest water treatment. And what that meant is that in general, you'll see in the next few slides in the Acala and the Pima, is that we had a really fairly tight numbers in terms of the spread of estimated ET. Crop ET, applied water plus soil water depletion, the high-end one being 29.5 for Acala in 2012, the low-end one being 23.5, so we're only talking about a 6-inch spread in ET. In 2013, again, this is just I'm just showing you the total applied, the similar type of spread in terms of the applied same treatments, a spread that ranged about 8 to 9, in applied water, and then when you go to actual calculated ET, then again we have a spread that only ranges from 24.1 in the low ET treatment to 30.6 in the highest, 26.7, 28.1 in the intermediate. So again, these are not severe deficit treatments, particularly since they have access to some stored soil water, but it does represent, believe me, the last few years in California, if you could find a way to save 6 inches of water that you could use somewhere else on your farm, there's some value to that. In terms of yield responses, it's not maybe too surprising. There are some impacts. We tend to grow cotton that we're shooting for fairly high yields. We have fruiting over a very long time period. There are some impacts of hitting these stress levels in this treatment 3 here. And you can see the values shown here to indicate separation are across the rows on each one of these varieties, and very similar types of responses are 4 bale plus yields per acre in the treatment 1, treatment 2, and treatment 4. And we get somewhat of a drop, but still fairly respectable yield numbers. And again, part of the idea is to provide numbers to the growers of what that 6-inch water savings actually costs them in terms of impacts on yields. And in some years, that may be something that's an acceptable trade. This is 2013 yield numbers, and again, surprisingly very similar. We're going to be lower yields in the 2014 data that I haven't really compiled all of that yet. But again, similar responses. We definitely did get a yield reduction with the somewhat more serious or severe stress in treatment three. Again, none of these are severely stressed. When you go to the Pima, yields are a little bit lower, but still these are some very respectable yields in Pima. And the pattern actually is very similar. There's a little bit of a jump, as we've seen a number of times with Pima. Sometimes if you have them, keep them too happy, have too much water, sometimes you'll get more vegetative growth, less fruiting. And there are a few instances with some cultivars where that was apparent, others where it isn't. But in general, the major consistent response was with this reduction in yield with treatment three, but again, a fairly modest reduction. In 2013, the second year that I'll show here for the Pima, again, a very similar type of response. A little more severe yield reductions in some of the entries, 811, T1000, T9000. These are a very different Uzbek type of material with a columnar type of growth habit. So we did have some more severe impacts on some of those. I'm just going to mention a little bit, we tried to be consistent as possible in the way we treated nitrogen applications, again a pre-plant application plus injected amounts. And what we have here is early bloom, peak bloom, late bloom, harvestable bowl, and then well in past cutout, leaf nitrogen concentrations in the upper canopy leaves. And the only thing I wanted to show here is that the stress treatment three, and to some extent treatment one, did show some separation as we got into the late part of the season. But as these are, I think, very reasonable numbers and not really indicative of a nitrogen stress in the bulk of the fruiting period and pre-fruiting period. Then I'll just show a little bit about nutrient nitrogen uptake as the last slide or two here. And this is numbers shown at early bloom is about this timing, peak bloom is between these two, and late bloom would be closer to this timing here. And again, what you can see, these are total uptake numbers for the plants across the different cultivars. To give you an idea of just sort of impacts of the treatments, these are treatment 1, 2141, treatment 3, about 1834. And you can see as you go from treatment 1, go a little later in the season here, to treatment 3 with the same cultivar, or treatment FM2484, treatment 1 to treatment 3, a little bit of a reduction, but again, fairly similar in terms of uptake. And these are values that we are developing for harvest removal that goes along with each one of these treatments as well. In terms of yield and production per unit water use, again, I'm going to, in the interest of time, I'll go ahead and wrap it up here. There are some differences, some improvements, in some cases some reductions in efficiency as you go toward the high water treatments. A lot of them hang in there fairly well in terms of some potential. You can see in a number of cases where we have some reductions in lint yield that still hang in there fairly well in terms of yield per inch of total water use in the more severe deficit treatments. So again, in summary then, impacts on retention, yield, nitrogen status are influenced by timing and duration of water stress. In this particular soil type, we feel that we have some good reasons to suggest that there are situations where these mild to moderate deficit treatments can have some potential for maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of about a 3 to 6 inch water savings. We still do recommend for a lot of our growers that we have some stored water in these profiles so that we don't run into as many problems with a limited root zone root volume. Okay?
Thank you.